War is brewing over ice. Can we stop it before it explodes? Welcome to America Uncovered. I'm Chris Chappell. Now, I've told you recently that I had to cut back on America Uncovered because YouTube has made it intensely unprofitable. Today's episode is only possible because of our sponsor, OutSkill. It's January again, and I'm sure you've all made all sorts of New Year's resolutions. Well, throw those out the window because I've got something even better for 2026. AI is changing the world. You know this. You've seen these tools start to take over everything this past year. And if you go into 2026 without a solid grasp of AI, you could be left way behind. That's why I'm partnering with OutSkill again. And they've got a new 2026 upgrade. They'll be hosting a live two-day AI mastermind training this Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time on both days. And thanks to OutSkill, it's completely free for my viewers. OutSkill has already trained more than 10 million people, and I don't want my viewers to get left behind. Whether you do marketing, finance, admin, or you're an online influencer, knowing the stuff will save you hundreds of hours of tedious work and keep you secure in your job. In just 16 hours of training, you'll learn how to build AI agents that plan, write, execute, and report for you. Automate your workflows, connect your tools automatically, and save an enormous amount of time. Not only that, but you'll also learn how to actually make money with these skills. In some cases, $3,000 to $4,000 a week. And when you sign up now, you'll get access to the 2026 AI Survival Hackbook. It'll show you what's new with AI in 2026 and the practical steps to stay ahead of the AI learning curve. Seats are limited, so use my link in the description to save your spot this weekend. So, on with the show. As if there aren't enough problems in the world already, don't even talk to me about the crumbling of the American Empire until I've had my coffee. Civil war is itching to break out in the US over ICE detainments again. But this time, things seem to be much more serious, especially in the wake of Rene Good's death. The division over ICE is like that white and gold versus blue and black dress meme. People are seeing the same exact thing and coming up with wildly different conclusions. Personally, I see black and gold because I'm a contrarian. So you have those who saw what happened with Good and concluded that the ICE agent who shot her did so in self-defense, after getting hit and reportedly injured from her car. Meanwhile, from those trapped on the other side of the algorithm, you have those who came to a completely opposite conclusion, saying Good's death was not a case of self-defense and that the officer was not injured, especially after seeing him walk. I get it. I've had more of a limp after my foot fell asleep while doom-scrolling on the toilet for too long. Instead, these people are claiming the ICE officer, Jonathan Ross, is a murderer and an assassin. This, like so many other things that are dividing the US, is further proof of how people are living in completely separate realities these days, and it's threatening to pull the nation apart even further. Personally, I see this as a more complex situation that isn't so black and white, because I'm a contrarian. By now, you've probably made up your own mind on the issue, but let's take a step back and think. Is it possible that people are being purposefully misled? Here's what I mean. Many who support ICE are fed stories that make ICE out to be the good guys, the heroes who go after illegal immigrants, who commit murder, child rape, and other crimes. So anyone who criticizes them, like progressives and Democrats, must therefore be evil. And if you think, what kind of Democrat would pal around with a criminal engaged in the likes of human trafficking? Oh, yeah. So, stories of Democrats and the left voting against deporting illegal immigrants who commit crime only help reinforce this idea. In other words, these people say you gotta side with ICE 100% of the time because otherwise you're siding with criminal-loving maniacs who don't mind seeing rampant fraud run wild. Which is crazy because no one is correct and righteous 100% of the time, except for Weird Al. Meanwhile, many of those who are against ICE are being fed the exact opposite kinds of narratives. This crowd gets fed stories that make ICE and their supporters look like violent monsters. For this group, you gotta side against ICE 100% of the time because otherwise you're cool with kidnapping and violence. And if you think what kind of Republican would pal around with a criminal engaged in the likes of human trafficking, oh, yeah. These people say Trump is using ICE as the Gestapo to promote white supremacist authoritarianism through violence. Quick reality check. Is ICE really like the Gestapo, as protesters are claiming? No. They're not a secret police going around eliminating political opponents and enforcing ideological conformity. Anyone who's saying that is being intellectually dishonest. But this kind of rhetoric going around both the left and right is actually something leftists love. And this gets to the heart of what I worry about. Leftists see the tension over ICE as an opportunity for dialectical political warfare meant to destroy trust in America's institutions while spreading their brand of influence. What do I mean by dialectical political warfare? Now, let me explain. It's no secret that leftists love to agitate people, just as they did after George Floyd's death and after the October 7th attack. With ICE, it's no different. They want people to do more than just protest. They want them to engage in fiery but mostly peaceful protests. They want people to treat ICE like they're the Gestapo, even though ICE clearly isn't. But that doesn't matter. As commentator James Lindsay points out, what matters is that leftists create narratives that become a reality after the fact. Essentially, they're constructing reality around real events. We already know that leftists are more than happy to stop cars, harass people, attack buildings, steal federal weapons, attack ICE officers with shovels, dox ICE agents, stab right-wing influencers, and even pour water on the roads to make them slippery. Yes, this is real. Who knew Kevin McAllister grew up to be Antifa? They're happy to do pretty much whatever it takes to make life hell for ICE. Presumably, ICE would melt in hell. Leftists want people supporting Trump and ICE to get so angry that they get behind even harsher crackdowns and cross lines that shouldn't be crossed, egging them on all the while. That is, them creating the reality around the narrative. And it's all part of a tactical spiral of the left's making. The left calls Trump and ICE Nazis and starts treating them like they are. Trump and ICE then get agitated and go harder and act more authoritarian. The left then rinses and repeats, and we get closer to a civil war. And things keep escalating with this constant cycle of action, reaction, and counter-reaction. This risks Trump and ICE becoming the very thing leftists and critics accuse them of being, or at the very least, this forces them into making decisions that might bite them back. And that's dialectical political warfare put into practice. It's all about exploiting others' reactions, because humans are emotional creatures. And if you're thinking, hey, no, I'm not, how dare you? Then sure, yeah, you're the exception. It also doesn't matter what side people are on, because as long as there are two sides in opposition and people continue to harden their positions on both sides, more violence and escalation continues. So leftists are exploiting situations like this to delegitimize those they don't like in power, demoralize an entire society, and gain more influence for themselves. Already we're seeing some socialist or communist groups like the Democratic Socialists of America, the Party for Socialism and Liberation, and the Freedom Road Socialist Organization make their way into anti-ICE protests. And the latter has alleged links to the PLO, FARC, and the Communist Party of the Philippines. And I'm sure those groups are telling them, hey, chill out, we don't want to see America divided and weakened, now do we? Then there's also the People's Forum, which, despite the name, isn't a message board to discuss articles from People magazine. Its executive director said this.
Now is the time for the millions of people in this country to take this government back.
That's right.
It's worth mentioning that the man talking is a Marxist who runs an organization with ties to Neville Roy Singham, who in turn has ties to the Chinese Communist Party. This all sounds a lot like a call for a communist revolution. And we all know how successful those have been, or will be when someone finally does it right. I'm sure this'll be that time. And it's not just him who's pushing that kind of agenda. The Revolutionary Communists of America was spotted distributing pamphlets saying workers must meet ICE terror with militant class defense, and the struggle against ICE must be a struggle against the system as a whole. A Minneapolis organizer with the Twin Cities Coalition for Justice, meanwhile, said this.
We are a revolutionary organization. Our focus is political power. No reforming the police or reforming ICE. Even before this deployment of thousands of ICE agents, organizers, we began preparing for increased repression by building a united front and uniting all who can be united to take action against Trump's attacks.
By rigging Home Alone traps. Yep, real militant revolutionaries. Now, they may not succeed in getting the revolution they're asking for, but these are the kinds of groups that feed into oppressor versus oppressed narratives that, left unchecked, could exacerbate America's problems with more division and violence via dialectical political warfare. So, how can we stop this escalation? Well, it would help if politicians stop forcing polarization on this issue. We see this from Democrats like Minnesota Governor Tim Walz using escalatory language by describing the actions of Trump and ICE as organized brutality, which sounds like a finishing move from a Mortal Kombat character with OCD. They also accuse Trump of wanting chaos, confusion, and violence as part of some political operation. Like he was Littlefinger. Chaos is a ladder, or more like an escalator, a big, beautiful escalator. Basically, Walz is accusing Trump of inciting violence against fellow Americans. And with the rhetoric Democrats are using to portray Trump, it's almost as if they want him to be the violent dictator they make him out to be, instead of the trolling narcissist that he actually is. And it's only going to fan the flames from both sides of the political aisle and lead to violence. Media outlets certainly aren't helping. I could just end that sentence right there and most everyone would agree with me, but I'll be specific. They're adding fuel to the fire by characterizing ICE's presence as an occupation and getting people to fear that Trump is out to kill Americans like some Maoist thug.
So the message from this administration is clear. Only they determine the truth. And when their forces come to your city, obey or die. And if you die, you clearly didn't obey. This should be an alarm bell for the entire country.
They're saying Trump is following the playbook of 1984, which is ridiculous. Y'all know Trump doesn't read. Now, it's not just the left that's escalating things. The right is also contributing its fair share as well. For example, you have those on the right who are suggesting the federal government invoke the Insurrection Act, which, while not uncommon for U.S. presidents to invoke, is something that is typically used as a last resort. The right has also raised the temperature by painting Democrats in the most negative light possible, and even making Civil War comparisons. Even the Trump administration is feeding into the polarization. I know, Trump being divisive? Inconceivable. In the wake of Good's death, the Trump administration was quick to put out its own spin on what happened, before all the details even came out. Trump claimed Good was willfully trying to run over the ICE officer. And other Trump officials even accused her of domestic terrorism and classic terrorism. Then there's the vice president's comments saying the ICE agent is protected by absolute immunity, which doesn't seem to be factually accurate. This in turn has only fueled the fear-mongering amongst Trump's critics. The critics are now worrying that this is proof Trump is giving federal agents permission to do anything, resulting in complete unrestrained authoritarianism, which has become more explosive than a stage entrance by Erica Kirk. The Department of Homeland Security has made the situation worse when it accused a Minneapolis family of being radical agitators for bringing children to violent riots. They deleted that tweet because it turns out the family was simply trying to get home and were not part of the protest. Even some members of the family, including a six-month-old infant, ended up getting hospitalized because they were simply in the wrong place at the wrong time. This leads us to a very important conclusion. Both sides need to calm down and quit being agitated to fight the other. Things are not so black and white. They might be blue and black, white and gold, or black and gold if you're a contrarian. Those who like to bash on ICE need to acknowledge that ICE does a lot of good enforcing immigration laws, especially against illegal immigrants who commit heinous crimes, like child rapists. Meanwhile, those who support ICE need to acknowledge that there are times when ICE hasn't lived up to the highest standard and does things that may be out of line. Is it really appropriate to shoot a protester in the head with a pepper ball all the way from the roof, even though the protesters pose no violent threat? Or what about not following legal procedures like getting a proper warrant? Or going after people who already have valid visas, like the South Korean engineers working in a Georgia battery plant? Let's also not forget all the instances when ICE went after US citizens and green card holders, which has been happening far more frequently than the public is comfortable with. Admit it. There are people in every profession terrible at their job. No one is correct and righteous 100% of the time. Except Weird Al. And don't lose hope when you see AI everywhere. Get motivated. Upgrade your skills so you can come out on top. Click below and book your slot for OutSkills AI training this weekend. I'm Chris Chappell. Thanks for watching America Uncovered.